morning. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios in the seventh floor of the Trib Tower. I'm your overnight dude, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. weekday mornings. My dad is going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday, which means it's a jokey time. That's coming up in a little bit. And as you heard, that is the music from Peanuts. And MetLife is dumping Snoopy. So MetLife will no longer be using Snoopy. So instead of a giant blimp featuring Snoopy in his World War I pilot gear, MetLife said that it will have the letter M in blue and green colors. Okay. The marketing shift comes as MetLife prepares to spin off a chunk of its consumer life insurance business to shareholders as a new company called Brighthouse Financial. The old MetLife will focus more on group life insurance and international operations. Esther Lee, Global Chief Marketing Officer for MetLife, said the decision for Snoopy reflects this shift. We brought in Snoopy over 30 years ago. God, 30 years? Snoopy has been a part of the MetLife for 30 years. Wow. To make our company more friendly and approachable during a time when insurance companies were as cold and distant. Snoopy helped drive our business and served an important role at the time. She added that we have great respect for these iconic characters, but that it's important we associate our brand directly with the work we do and the partnership we have with our customers. Oh, Snoopy. Esmeralda, are you disappointed that Snoopy just got the axe?
I mean, he had a good run.
30 years.
30 years.
I didn't realize that he had been a part. Dan, did you know that? 30 years with MetLife?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
His unemployment should be really great.
Right? Yeah. Poor Snoopy. Well, actually, it's all the Peanuts characters because they had all of them in those commercials. So, well, who were some of your favorite advertising icons of the past and your favorite spokesperson? I'm wondering how many people are absolutely thrilled that the Can You Hear Me Now guy is back. I think people are just like, oh, I was missing Can You Hear Me Now guy, black rim glasses guy. Dan, were you just like when you saw him back on the he's with Sprint.
You know, it's odd to see him doing more than just walking and say it. Like every time he has the conversation, I'm like, wow, this is really strange because you know he's trying to be very presentable, and communicable, and things like that. And they always set him up in very odd situations, like the barbershop.
I know that's the weirdest. The first one that popped into my head was he's sitting in the barbershop. Yeah. I don't know. I just find that whole campaign to be condescending, you know? Like, I find him annoying, and I'm like, why is he back? Boy, that guy was everywhere. You remember when Verizon first broke that campaign? He was out. You couldn't get away from him. He was on L trains, you know? There were posters everywhere. You couldn't pick up a magazine without a picture of that guy. Newspaper, every other page was a picture of him. There were 9,000 commercials on television and on radio. Man, he was like, you know, up right up there with Flo. And now who are the other? Well, I always forget who's the AT&T? What's the AT&T girl's name? The hot one?
Lily.
All right. Now, speaking of corporate icons, Dan, we have to keep doing an update on the election, the very important election. Between Frankenberry, Booberry, and Count Chocula. And do we have an update on who's winning in that election?
The Count Chocula is still in the lead with a 41% of the vote. Booberry is second at 30%. And then Frankenberry at 29%.
Ooh, neck and neck for Frankenberry and Booberry. Yeah.
Now, do we know the results on the same day as the real election?
That's a good question. I believe it does end.
Does it end on the 8th?
If you enter, you get entered into a 5,000 grand prize. So if you vote, you get a 5,000 grand prize.
Possibility.
Yeah. I'm not seeing a date on here, but you imagine it's got to be pretty close.
I thought it was actually till the end of the year. I thought they were taking, if I remember correctly, I thought at some point they said they were going to continue taking. I guess they were going to announce something on November 8th, but then I guess they were going to continue taking votes through the end of the year for some reason, or at least people could enter the contest till the end of the year. I'm kind of surprised at the at Booberry being in second place.
Well, you know, chocolate vampires.
Well, that no, that I'm not surprised by Count Chocula being first. I'm surprised at Booberry being second.
Oh, what, you thought he would be lower?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I thought Frankenberry would be above Booberry.
Well, you know, he's got a message, and the public responds.
And also because the other two treat him like a meanie.
Right.
They're
so
jerks. They're jerks to Booberry. Both of them.
The underdog.
Are. Yeah. But no, fruit brute. No fruit brute.
He's the Gary Johnson of this.
Is that what he is? Fruit brute.
And also, I mean, the other ones aren't. Well, actually, aren't the other ones? They're all people per se. Fruit brute's an animal.
He's a wolfman.
Okay, well, I guess, or maybe they think he's more animal than man.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean,
Frankenstein's just a bunch of men put together.
He's just a bunch of body parts sewn together, blasted with electricity.
Right. And Booberry
he's
was
a
man. So
yeah.
He's just the ghost now.
He was a ghost who can evidently still wear a pork pie hat.
Yes. And then, you know, Count Chuck, he's a vampire. So he's a
right.
He's a human, but he's.
But Fruit
a man.
Brute's a wolfman. I think. Fruit Brute's a wolfman. Right?
Well, what about the mummy? Isn't there a yummy mummy or something?
There should have been a yummy mummy.
I believe there was a yummy mummy.
Yeah. So,
Jill Stein.
The
contest ends on the 31st, and the winners will be announced the following day.
October?
Yep.
Oh, So it ends on Halloween.
Right.
Okay, so get your vote in now.
That's for them, their election day.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's the big culmination of everything.
It is. It's Halloween. So I would vote for, I would also vote for Count Chocula. I think I'd have to. Esmeralda, were you?
I think I voted, and I went Booberry.
You went Booberry?
I think. I liked him. He was on message.
All right. Dan, who did you vote, Dan?
I have not voted, but I would probably go Frankenberry.
Oh. All three of us voting for the different candidates. Okay.
By the way, the reason Esmeralda voted for him, Booberry will work himself to the bone, if he had any, to be your breakfast leader. He guarantees he will give afterlife to any boring breakfast he encounters.
Mm.
I like that.
His pros are spooks for the people, scares deeply about the issues, and promises full transparency.
See?
Yeah.
Spooks for the people and full transparency.
Okay.
I like
that's
it.
That's a good message. Good message. All right, well, voting continues through Halloween, so vote with your heart, folks. Vote with your heart for either Count Chocula, Booberry, or Frankenberry. Okay. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about top advertising icons and spokespeople. Who do you love? Who do you hate? Who are some of your favorite spokespeople? Snoopy's been axed, as have all the Peanuts characters from MetLife. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Morning. Hello. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. The Cubs are in the World Series. I can't believe it. Tomorrow night, first game. I'm going to lose my mind. All right. I just saw a wacky cartoon on the online intranets. And it was two demons in hell with blankets wrapped around them, and there's icicles all over the place, and it says the Cubs and the Indians are in the World Series. See? Because it's hell, frozen over. See? Hey, yay. All right. So we're talking about MetLife is changing their advertising angle, and after 30 years, they're axing the Peanuts gang and Snoopy and all those guys and going a different route. And then we were talking about the return of, you know, Can You Hear Me Now, Man. And I've got some of the highest paid actors in commercials. Are you ready for some of these, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
The guy that we were just talking about is number one on the list. Peter Marcarelli is the Can You Hear Me Now guy. He made $10 million. For those commercials.
That's insane.
$10 million.
It's insane to think how much they've he's gotten paid, and he's not. He's famous, but he's not that famous.
It says, "Can you hear me now?" Became synonymous with Verizon thanks to Peter Maccarelli, who was cast as the Test Man. That's his. I guess that's the character's name, the Test Man. He was cast in 2001. He enjoyed 9 years of commercials, primarily making money from those commercials alone, with a paycheck totaling $10 million. He did pretty well for himself. And they closed, Verizon closed the Test Man in 2011. But now he's back with Sprint. I wonder how much he's getting paid.
Yeah, I wasn't able to find out online.
I bet he's getting paid equal, right? You would imagine he's getting the same kind of money from them, right?
You would think.
Yeah. $10 million. How about this? Jonathan Goldsmith, also known as the most interesting man in the world, $8 million. Now, he's gone, too. Don't they have another interesting man now?
Yeah, they debuted him. I've only seen one of his new commercials, but that's it.
So Jonathan Goldsmith. Does that guy look like a Jonathan Goldsmith? I don't know why. Best known for being the most interesting man in the world, one of his most notable appearances in this genre is in the 1976 movie The Shootist, which was the final film of Western movie legend John Wayne. In the movie, Goldsmith appears as a character that is shot squarely between the eyes by Wayne. The scene is done by firing a special dye cartridge to create the bloody visual. So there you go. He was killed by John Wayne. So there he is, Jonathan. He made $8 million. Flo, and her name is Stephanie Courtney. At this point, her net worth is $5 million just from doing the Flo commercials. We're in the wrong business, Esmeralda.
I will gladly take any of their places.
$5 million. Flo makes $5 million a year. I mean, that's crazy. When Stephanie Courtney first arrived in L.A., she was there to make it big as a stand-up comedian. She became a member of the group The Groundlings and is still a senior member today. Was auditioning for commercials around town but was finding very little success. In fact, she was only booking about one commercial a year, but she shot into the advertising industry limelight in 2008 when Progressive Insurance decided to cast her as Flo. And the angle that car insurance can be a pleasant shopping experience if there are good sales girls on hand. And so she's been doing it. She's been making $5 million. She's been doing the commercials since 2008. And now she's doing, like, the multi-character commercials. I wonder if they pay her extra. Because she's, you know, in many of the commercials now, she's playing, like, seven different characters.
She's like Eddie Murphy now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised she gets that little. I wonder if they, like, figured it out early on and, like, by, you know, like, made a deal with her where she would, you know what I mean? Because, like, the Verizon guy doesn't do half the things she does, and
yeah,
he made $10 million. So it's kind of like, well, did they realize they caught something on and got, like, under a contract where, you know, she's making bank, obviously.
Yeah.
But you'd imagine her be a little more just because she's so ubiquitous.
It's true. It's true. And she does a lot more than the Verizon guy does. Verizon guy doesn't do anything. Now he talks more. He talks more in the Sprint commercials, as you mentioned, Dan, than he ever did in the Verizon commercials. I love this guy, Dean Winters, as Mayhem from Allstate, as we sit in the Allstate studio. $4 million. That guy is hilarious, though, as you know. Dean Winters, the guy's hilarious. Esmeralda, you remember him on 30 Rock, right?
Yes, and Law & Order SVU.
Yeah. He appeared on many television shows like Homicide, Life on the Streets, Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles. Winters contracted a bacterial infection in June of 2009, and due to this infection, he had many subsequent surgeries, which included amputation of two toes and a part of a thumb. Wow, I didn't know that. He was away from acting until the spring of 2010 when he rejoined the cast of 30 Rock with the help of Tina Fey, and around that time, he also became the Mayhem guy. He's hilarious on 30 Rock. Hey, how's it going, dummy?
He's got so many. Like, I wonder if they do specific commercials for every city, because the ones I hear on our station, they're all specific.
Local.
Yeah, they're local to Illinois, which is so crazy.
You know he's recording commercials for, you know, like, every state. You know that. I mean, they've localized that. I mean, even to the point where Dan, as we've talked about before, where they had you could turn the radio on and hear him talking about, in fact, the intersection that you're at, correct?
Right. It was at Diversey, Elston, and I forget the
Western.
Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it had one of those signs like turn your radio to, 8:10 or something a.m. and it'd be a low power FM. And it'd be like, you know what's dangerous? The guy who's trying to pull out of that gyro spot right now.
Yeah.
You know, without looking both ways.
And he talked about the karate place. Maybe you'll get kicked by mayhem at that karate place right next that you're looking at. So you're sitting at this intersection. You've got the radio tuned to this. And you can look at everything he's talking about in that intersection. They did it, too, like on Illinois and State. You know how when we come in, Dan, remember there was they had a billboard up at that corner?
Right.
Is it Illinois and State? No, Grand.
Grand and State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it State? No, maybe not State.
Grand and State is rock bottom.
Yeah.
So
and the L stop.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't over there.
No.
It was closer to the Ohio
mm-hmm.
ramp.
Let's see. Carrie Foulkes is the T-Mobile girl. She makes $3 million. I don't remember the T. Who's the T-Mobile girl?
She was a brunette that eventually they had her riding around on motorcycles and things like that. You'd probably recognize her.
I'd probably recognize her.
This is a long time. This is one of the older ones.
And then Diane Amos as the Pine Sol lady, $2.5 million. She began performing stand-up in the mid-'80s and quickly made a name for herself in San Francisco. In addition to a steady schedule of touring, she also appeared in multiple game shows, winning almost $50,000 in the late 80s. She had appeared in supporting roles on multiple television shows and in movies, but was most widely recognized as the Pine Sol spokesperson, a position she has held since 1993. Is she an African-American woman?
Yes.
God, she's been doing those Pine Sol commercials forever.
She's got a whole page on the Pine Sol website. Like, you can get to know her.
She's been doing that for a long time. Not quite as long as Snoopy, who just got axed. Poor Snoopy. 773 area code says, they don't get more iconic than the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah, on the list here from AdAge.com. One of the most iconic advertising characters of all time, the Pillsbury Doughboy. I always wanted to smack the Pillsbury Doughboy. Shut up.
He would probably like it.
What are you saying? He's kinky?
I'm just saying because he's dough and they poke him and he gets a kick out of that.
He loves that. Burnett creative director Rudy Perez was sitting at a kitchen table in the mid-60s when he dreamed up the idea of a plump dough figure that would pop out of a tube of refrigerated rolls, and since then, Pillsbury has used Poppin' Fresh in more than 600 commercials for more than 50 of its products. The decision to create a 3D Doughboy doll of clay it cost a fortune 34 years ago at $16,000. The Doughboy was an instant success with consumers. His round body and signature belly poke quickly endeared him to adults and children. When Pillsbury issued a Doughboy doll, the toy became so popular, Playthings magazine named it Toy of the Year in 1972. All right. Okay, we got a break. We got the news coming up after this, and we'll talk more advertising icons. 312-981-7200. My dad will call in and tell a jokey, jokey joke. Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm an overnight dude here on GN, and 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. every weekday morning. 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell, and at 6 o'clock, the great Steve Cochran, my main man. All right, we're here. Work week has begun, and we want to get a laugh for you to start your week. So my dad will be calling in to tell a joke, as he does every Monday morning. Jokey, 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 jokey time. We're talking about advertising icons and spokespersons and people and things. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to text us or call us. 312-981-7200. And we've got more advertising icons to talk about. Robert sends in a text saying, how about the help me, I can't get up woman? No, it's the I've fallen and I can't get up. And I mean the original woman. They redid the commercial a few years back and they cast a new woman. The first was the best. Yeah.
There's a lot of those now.
I know.
There's a lot of different women.
There's a lot of people falling and stuff in commercials.
There is.
You know, I got to say, as much as I love... Obviously, the people might not know this. I happen to like to watch the Johnny Carson reruns,
mm-hmm.
you know, periodically, like every day.
Oh, okay.
And the commercials that Antenna TV chooses to show during the Johnny Carson
mm-hmm.
shows, are so great to fast forward through because it's seriously, it's like sick kids.
Oh.
You know, and it's like, and, you know, obviously St. Jude's is an amazing establishment and, right. And worthy of our donations and no question about it. But it's really, the commercials are really sad. Or the dead dogs, freezing dogs.
Oh, boy.
You know, like dogs in cages and stuff. Mm. Like, come on. And then the people falling and like almost dying. And like, there's one that's it's terrifying. It's a little girl alone with her grandmother. And she's like in the kitchen or something, and she hears, and she hears it fall, and she goes in, and the grandmother can't, like, she can barely move, and she can barely talk, and it's just this terrified little girl.
Yeah.
Who's
no,
standing there.
Bad.
And I'm like, God, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to watch Steve Landisberg do some stand-up on an old Johnny Carson. I don't want to be depressed for the rest of the day.
Although, a good one is the step-in tubs.
Yeah.
I want one.
Yeah.
I would buy that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you're perfectly fine to move. It's
right.
Not like you have any, you know, problems moving.
But you know what I like is that you can fill it up pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're completely submerged, and usually in a regular tub that does, like my knees are up or
yeah.
Like I don't fit the whole way.
Yeah.
So I want one.
So you want one? Okay. Well, does Merle to buy that? Even though she's too young to really need it. And able-bodied enough where it's not really an issue.
Yeah, but you feel so luxurious. You get to sit in the tub and just be like, yes, fill with water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you'd never get cold because you'd be submerged completely. Oh, my gosh. It sounds wonderful.
Right. 815 area code says, Booberry used to be so much better. Now it's like shellacked cardboard.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the person.
Character, yeah.
Like, hey.
Don't be dissing on Booberry. I have not tasted those cereals in years.
I'm not a fan of very like artificial fruit flavoring.
Yeah.
So I don't.
Well, that's what you're going to find in cereal.
Well, no, but you know, like Frosted Flakes, there's no fruit.
No.
Stuff.
I've
that.
Just I don't eat cereal a lot.
Right. Yeah, I don't either.
But I have a box at home called Keith Crunch. It's Duncan Keith from the Hawks. It's his cereal. So I figured I'd try it. Tastes like Frosted Flakes.
Oh, well, at least it's something you know.
No, it's not bad. It's good. You know, it's fine.
Right.
But I just, you know, my dad got it for me because my dad works at Jewel. And he's mm-hmm. like, you know, I know you like Duncan Keith here. And I'm like, I like Duncan Keith, but I really don't eat cereal. But, you know, I'll try it. And it's good.
Mm.
You know, our very funny guy, Vince Maranto,
mm-hmm.
stand-up comedian guy. He's been on Patty's show many times.
Yes.
I've worked with him at Zany's. He's a great guy. Been in the business since the early 80s. He's been around forever. And in fact, whenever I post stuff on my Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
The Johnny Carson stuff, when I take the screenshots, whenever there's a stand-up comedian on, you know, I'll take a picture of it, and then I'll put it up, and I'm like, here's this guy, blah, blah, blah. He's pretty funny here. And then I'll go, Vince, any stories? And inevitably, he's got a story. Like, he's worked with everybody. Anyway, Vince posted on his Facebook page. He took a picture of the box of cereal because
mm-hmm.
Vince is a massive Hawks fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, on the same level as me, if not higher. He's a crazy Hawks fan. Anyway, he took a picture of the Keith Crunch cereal. And then he said, I don't know if you're going to get this joke or not, but he said, yeah, I took one bite and seven teeth fell out.
Because they're hockey players?
Well, because in the playoffs in 2010, Duncan
Keith. His teeth fell out?
Seven teeth.
Or he got
knocked. He got seven teeth knocked out of his face. And then, by the way, back on the ice 10 minutes later.
Well,
that's a hockey player.
They've fallen out. What are you going to do about it?
Well, no, that's the point. Is like these guys, the hockey players, they don't. The guy's got seven teeth got knocked out of his face. Bleeding everywhere. Blood all over the place.
I mean, once it stops bleeding.
Well, that's the hockey player mentality. Hurry up. Yeah, but you're bleeding. You need, you know, like, sometimes they'll get hit in the face. Yeah, you're going to need 50 stitches. No, I'm going back out on the ice now. So anyway, that was his joke. He said, yeah,
very nice.
Seven teeth fell out. Jeff says, Joe Isuzu. You remember Joe Isuzu?
No.
You don't remember Joe Isuzu? Dan, you remember Joe Isuzu? Are you guys
I
too young?
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
He was, Joe Isuzu was like, he lied all the time, right? That was his thing. I think he was known as like the he was like a liar.
No, what did he sell?
Isuzu cars.
Oh.
So he would like say, "Yeah, this car gets 4,000 miles to the gallon when it doesn't." Mm-hmm. But, like, I think that was the gist, right, Dan? He was like a lighter.
Right, he would say that, and then underneath it'd be like, the real... actually, the MPG is,
is this a 25 local?
Miles.
No, 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 no. This was national.
Okay.
To Zuzu.
All right. Yeah. Zuzus.
Joey Zuzu.
Where are those now?
$2 million? It's easy. Just buy 1,000 Isuzu Troopers at $13.5 million, and generous factory cash can help you save $2 million. Of course, you could buy just one and save up to $2,000, but remember, the more you buy, the more you could save. So think big. Buy a million Troopers and save $2 billion. You have my word on it. Now, Isuzu...
That's right. You have my word on it. That was his catchphrase, because he was a liar. So the idea was this guy was really, like, he had a very, very smarmy... What was the actor's name, Dan?
He's not... Was he in...
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
David Leisure?
That's it. David Leisure. That's his name.
I think I know who that is.
Yeah, you would. If you saw his face, David Leisure,
like,
you'd know.
That voice sounded familiar.
And he's very smarmy. He's got a very smarmy smile. And that was the whole gist behind the character, was he was this really, you know, smarmy-looking dude who was lying.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he on Empty Nest?
I think he was on Empty Nest. Yes, you're right. You're right. And you know who else he was? Speaking of MTV. Well, we weren't speaking of MTV, but I'm going to bring up MTV. He was the hippie dude on MTV. Remember all the little promos that they used to do? This might be before your time.
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, Dan, can you look that up? Like, hippie, David Leisure, hippie dude, MTV. Because he was like, he did promos. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Dennis Leary was doing promos on MTV?
Yes.
Like, I want the shiny people over here and the happy people over, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah, the smoking.
Yeah. That was when Leary got his, like, he got his start on Remote Control. Mm-hmm. But they started doing those promos, and that's when his career, like, really took off. Thanks to those ranting promos that he did. But it was, like, right, it was that kind of thing that the David Leisure did. But he did it as a hippie. He wore, like, tie-dye, and he had sunglasses on, a long wig. Mm-hmm. And he was doing promos about music and MTV and stuff like that in that same way, in between commercials on MTV.
Okay.
And it was
I can imagine it.
It was before Leary. It was the '80s. I want to say it was mid to late '80s when he was doing those things. Yeah, because Isuzu was in the '80s too.
Do those exist anymore?
Are they those gone? Cars? No, those cars are gone, right? Isuzus aren't around anymore, right?
Correct. I think they went belly up.
Yeah, they did. And do you know what the name of the demon is that possesses Reagan in the Exorcist?
Is it Isuzu?
It's Pazuzu.
Oh.
That's right. It's the demon Pazuzu. Pazuzu drives an Isuzu. Jay in Ohio says, my favorite commercial icon was Clara Peller for Wendy's. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? You remember? You're too young for...
No, I never saw those, yeah.
But you know of them, right?
Yeah, of course.
She was, like, huge. Like, she was on every talk show, you know, in the 80s. She was on, like, she was in a movie. Like, they put her in a movie. They put her in a movie called Moving Violations.
And then did all she say was, where's the beef?
They would... No, she couldn't say it in movies and stuff because it was copyright. You know what I mean? It was like, unless it's a Wendy's commercial, you can't say it. But they would say stuff like, where's our meat? Or something, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, they would do a variation on it. But it was just that it got to the point where she was ubiquitous, man. Tonight Show, all the talk shows, mm-hmm. she'd come out and just be the screaming old lady. And then she was in this movie called Moving Violations, which is a horrible movie about people. This is the premise of the movie. It was right around the time when the Police Academy movies were very, very popular. So, like, you know, like goofy outcast groups of wacky characters in one sort of situation, that was big. So Moving Violations was a movie about a bunch of people who lost their license and had to go to driving school.
Oh, boy.
That's what the movie was about. And it starred Bill Murray's brother. It wasn't Joel. And it was not Brian. John Murray. John Murray.
Okay.
There are five Murray brothers, by the way. Mm. And he just did. All he did was a complete imitation and ripoff of Bill.
Oh, boy.
And I remember watching it going, if I were Bill, I would slap this guy around. Like, come on, dude. You're stealing every single thing that I do. You know, he was doing the Bill Murray smartass, you know, thing. And he looks a lot like Bill Murray, you know. So it's like, oh, look, there's a Murray. And he acts like his brother. Jennifer Tilly was in it. And Clara Peller.
Oh.
And other people, too. I can't remember. Moving Violations, like from 85, maybe. Horrendous movie.
Did they all pass?
I don't remember. I remember seeing it and, you know, thinking it was horrible. And then I think it was a double bill at a drive-in one time, and all my friends, we were watching it. And it was just like the second movie at the drive-in, and we're like, this is just terrible, and this John Murray guy needs a smack. You're not Bill, dude. Wonder, hey, Dan, can you look that up? We'll find out afterwards, like, who else was in it. Because there were other people in it besides Jennifer Tilly. I think Jennifer Tilly was in it.
Who knows? Maybe I've seen it.
You might have.
I mean, I used to watch Up All Night, so.
Might have been on there. I wouldn't be surprised. With Rhonda Shear?
Yep.
All right. All right, we got a break here. We got weather. We got traffic. We got more advertising icons to talk about. And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke on this Monday morning. Woodstock and Snoopy are the best. Well, tell that to MetLife. By the way, did you see the Peanuts movie that came out last year?
I did not.
It's really good. Like, I went in. Dan, did you see it? Did you see the Peanuts?
No, movie? I didn't get a chance to.
Really good. And I went in like you're going to screw this up. You're going to mess up my childhood, man. You can't mess up my childhood. And because in the commercials for it were terrible. The trailer and the commercials, they had Baba O'Reilly by The Who.
It's a little gimmicky.
But then I got in there, and it was like I went back in time to like 1970, and they didn't update anything. There were no cell phones or anything in the all the technet was, it was about a pencil, returning a pencil to the girl with the red hair. Loved it. Okay, here's your little some comments about the Tubbs that you were talking about. Not talking about the character from Miami Vice. By the way, John Murray, Jennifer Tilly, James Keach, Ned Eisenberg, Clara Peller, Wendy Jo Sperber, and Fred Willard were all in. Mm. We're all in the fantastic Moving Violations movie. 630. Those deep tubs are great. That is until you have to wait many minutes for the tub to drain so that you can open the door to get out.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that.
And then they just wrote brr.
Oh, and then you get so you get cold at the end.
Yeah. Hmm. 708 says, the step-in bathtubs are like typical bathtubs found in Japan, great for soaking. Mm. All right.
Well, you go to Japan.
Right. Cereal. Alan in North Carolina says, I'm old school. The best commercial is for Rice Krispies. A family breaks into song like it's a tragic opera because they were out of cereal. All right.
Not seen that.
Stu says, yes, Count Chocula and Boo Berry are less sugary and very bland now. 630 area code says, if Volkswagen had a sense of humor, they'd hire Joe Isuzu to do their ads. that's pretty good. 632 area code, the farmer insurance guy. Well, that better known as J.K. Oscar-winning J.K. Simmons from Whiplash. Carl says, the Empire Carpet Man. He's great. And the 608 area code says, Joe Isuzu also played the neighbor on Golden Girls. I don't remember David Leisure was on Golden Girls.
I don't remember a neighbor because he didn't show up too often.
Yeah, they didn't. I didn't even think that they have neighbors. They must have. They lived somewhere, so you got to have neighbors if you live somewhere. All right. How much? Where do you stand on the Energizer Bunny? Annoying or not?
No, I don't mind them.
No.
Those commercials are cute when they have the fake commercials within the commercial.
Yeah, and then the bunny comes across.
Right.
Yeah,
I like that.
All right. How about the fantastic Marlboro man? You don't see him anymore.
Well, no.
No. Remember when they used to have billboards like downtown and they would it would be a cigarette. It was a big billboard for a cigarette, whatever brand, Marlboro, whatever. And it'd be like a guy holding the cigarette and then his mouth, there was a hole in the billboard so that they could put like a chimney behind it so that smoke could come out of the mouth. So it looked like the billboard was actually smoking.
All right, then.
You've never seen those?
No.
Well, they haven't advertised,
it's been a while.
Cigarettes in a really, really long time. But there was one right at State and Lake, right at the, Randolph and State, above the Walgreens at Randolph and State, right on top of the roof. There was a Marlboro ad. It could have been Winston or Marlboro or whatever. And it was a guy going, with his mouth was cut. There was a hole where his mouth was, and smoke, they would pump smoke out of it. So it looked like the billboard was enjoying a nice, tasty smoke.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I used to think it was cool. I'm like, look at the smoke coming out of the dude's face.
I only remember the ones that would be like, so cool. It's just a bunch of people real happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're breaking here. Hey! We'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Two for Tuesday, and my friends from the factory are going to be down to talk about their new play, Zombie Broads.
Very nice.
About some broads fighting zombies.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's coming up a little bit later. It's coming up tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow, Ishmael.
See ya.
All right.